Let's pray. Our God and our Father, how we thank you for this day where we celebrate women. We thank you for what you have provided for the world, provided for us in the gift of the women that you've placed in and around our lives. So God, we celebrate you by celebrating them on today. And I pray that as we learn from your word, as we hear from you, may we understand why it is fitting to do so, and may we be committed to continuing to advance your cause through them in these days and in these times. Lord, we love you. We bless you and we magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, this is the day that we are celebrating all women all over the world. With everything that has gone on and with all of the pushes for justice, this is the time for the church to be about getting behind those things that represent the heart of God. We've already learned through last year what the church should not be rooting for, but now we're learning what we should be about in this cause. And celebrating women is a great cause to be a part of because it's close to the heart of God. And so I want to talk about today why we celebrate the women of God. And I want us to look at a passage that you may not have ever heard about before, may not have ever seen before, but join me in Numbers chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7 at an amazing story that I think we need to know and that we as the church need to understand, and we as the Refuge Church definitely need to understand why we celebrate the women of God. I'm reading from the New King James Translation. Watch what the Bible says in Numbers 27, verses 1 through 7. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Heber, the son of Gilead, the son of another name, the son of somebody else, the son of from the families of the other people. And these were the names of their daughters, and it names five sisters right off down through there. Verse 2. And they, these five sisters, stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders and all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle of the meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord in company with Korah, but he died in his own sin, but he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them." Watch this. Very interesting story. The people of God have begun the conquest of that which we know as the promised land. And as they have begun to think about and to divide up the conquered land to the various tribes, they've even run a second census to make sure that they understand who's whose son and who's related to who, so that each tribe would be given its special section of the conquered territory to then divide up. And the Bible tells us the story that these five sisters came, their dad didn't have a son, only five daughters, and was about to be passed over in the allocation of the land. Now remember, in those days and times, in the Mesopotamian area, daughters did not usually have a share in the family estate. Remember, the father's property was divided up amongst his sons after his death, the oldest son getting half, the other half would be divided by however other many sons there were, but normally daughters would not be a part of that. Now, they did have this practice where fathers would give a very substantial wedding present called a dowry to the daughters that would be, whether it was jewelry or money or furniture or sometimes even land if the father was wealthy enough, that he would give as a wedding gift to the couple so that if the husband died, then the daughter would have something to take care of herself upon his death. But now once the father gave that dowry, there was no more financial responsibility that he had. The wife then became a part of her husband's family, and her sons would get a part of his estate, but there was no protection for women under the law, and there wasn't even outlined a reference to the status of women within this patrilineal, patriarchal system that they operated under. Now, when these five women show up, and when they stand before Moses and before the leaders, and they ask for a possession, they ask for an inheritance, an allotment of the land that would be given, this action is extremely significant. This isn't just some incidental detail that shows up in the life of Israel. This is by them coming, it raises the issue of equity and gender. It's recorded for posterity because this is an important thing that happens. And I want you to see the heart of God, and I want you to see what happens and why the women of God are important and why they should be supported and why it's okay for us to be celebrating them on today. I want you to notice, first of all, that these women are worthy to be celebrated because they advocated for themselves. They saw an injustice that was happening and they spoke up about it. That you can sense the forcefulness of their request, one commentator says, because the book says, then came the daughters of Zelophehad in verse 1. They show up and they stand before Moses and all of these men and the entire congregation, and they make the argument that there is no moral reason why they as women should be passed over. It was simply a custom of the time. It was a part of their culture, but there wasn't a biblical or a spiritual or a moral reason. And they, by showing up, they asked, they forced the question upon Moses and even upon God, is the value of fairness and equity big enough to override the custom of only males inheriting property? I need you to see, these women had enough boldness, they had enough bravery to show up in front of all of these men and make an argument for why they as women should not be treated unfairly or unjustly. They not only did they advocate for themselves, but they acted on their faith and they acted on the promises of God. See what happened in chapter 32, the tribe that these daughters were a part of, the tribe of Manasseh, was part of this group of three tribes that had been promised by God that they would inherit land on the west side of the Jordan after the territory on the east side of the Jordan had been conquered. And by these women showing up, they were saying, we believed what God said. We believe the promise of God that we should be a part of that allotment of land. And yet we want you to understand that we're not bucking the system. We're not being, we're not out of our minds. We're not being loud. We're not being pushy, but we are women of faith. And we remain faithful to what God said, and we simply want what God has for us. Did you see that? They acted on their faith based on the promises and the character of God. They wanted to be treated fairly, so they appealed to God. The Bible says that they stood before. That's the formal connotation for how someone comes and appears before God in order to hear his judgment. And they stand before God and they appeal through Moses to God. They didn't stop with just trying to make their argument to the men. They appealed to God, who they knew as the defender of the defenseless. And they understood, listen, it was always God's concern to defend his people's right. And so they went to God and they made this appeal to God. And here's the part that I love. God spoke up on their behalf. They spoke up for their ability to be valued and seen as equal. And then God spoke up. It says right there in verse 6, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. That term speak what is right is the same Hebrew word that we get the word justice from. He's saying it's not only accurate, it's not only correct, it's not only true, but that represents true justice. There's a divine response that was favorable to these women of faith. And God agrees with them. He agrees that they are valuable. He agrees that they are worth it. He agrees that they deserve equity and equality, even if it means contradicting what men had believed and stood for and wanted. He agrees with their assessment. I need you to understand that when we operate on faith, God always backs up what we do in faith. These women were to be celebrated because they asserted their value to the community of faith. Now, I know that there's others, and we may have been taught bad stuff from 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 1 Timothy 2:11 about women being silent in church and women aren't supposed to have authority over a man. But we need to understand that God sees women as valuable to the community of faith. Their actions, by their actions, these women were going to make sure that other women weren't excluded from protection under the law, so that their motivation wasn't selfishness, but it was advocacy on the behalf of others. They saw what they were doing was going to be worthwhile for the entire community of faith. So that's why this is not a trivial matter. They made reference to the fact here that men and women together share in that which is the kingdom of God. And by raising this issue of status of women in Israelite society, they take this small step toward enhancing the status of women in the world. God was behind the feminist movement from the beginning. Uh-oh, I know I messed with somebody's faith right off there. But realize the spiritual significance of this issue, that as they take this step, they were taking the step toward justice for women, for equality for women, and yet it still wasn't settled, because the book of Numbers actually ends in chapter 36 with this same issue coming back up, where the men of their tribe came back and said, well, if these women marry other guys of other tribes, then our tribe loses its inheritance, loses its property. And they recognized, these women recognized, that because the patriarchal system was still in place, that they were going to have to keep advocating and keep speaking up, that they saw what they were doing was so valuable that it could not stop. It's even interesting if you check it out that later on we find out that in this area where they got their inheritance, which coincidentally is the same area where Jeff, that we talked about last week, where he grew up, there were two towns there that were named after two of these daughters, which meant they were valuable enough to the community that they had whole towns named in honor of these women. We celebrate these women of God because they acted in faith, because they advocated for themselves, and because they asserted their value. They wouldn't let anybody take away the value that they were to the community that God had gifted them to be. And by doing what they did, they provide encouragement and direction for those of us today to keep fighting the fight of faith for equality for all, and especially for the women that are a gift from God. These women were models of boldness. They were models of advocacy. They were models of faithfulness and faith to God. And for all of those women who continue to do that and continue to be that for this community of faith and for your families and for our city and for the movement of the kingdom of God all over the world, we celebrate you. We honor you. We praise God for you. We apologize for the times that we have not treated you like the gift that you are, that we have not included you in all that it means to be on equal status as men and women in the kingdom of God. And we pray that times will get better as long as you never stop speaking up, so that God can speak up on your behalf too. Can I pray? Father, we bless you. We magnify you. We thank you now for the ability to recognize from your word that you have been behind equal rights for women from the very beginning. And we thank you, O God, for the women that you have gifted us with in our lives, in our church, in our families. And we thank you, O God, for these women. We speak blessings on them. We speak your rest. We speak your restoration. We speak for continued boldness and bravery. We ask that you might continue to guard their minds as they deal with the foolishness of oppression around them on a day-by-day basis, and having to deal with us mansplaining stupid things that they already understand and know better than us. And God, I pray that you would help this church, that you would help your church, the kingdom of God, to do better at celebrating the women of faith that you've placed in our midst. We give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep moving, keep breathing, keep being bold, keep speaking up boldly for that which is right, women of God, because you are a gift to us.